Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Third down at 7. Another handoff and another stop on the left side, and that's going to be it in this game. The Houston Texans will fall to Baltimore hard. 31-2. The Texans lose back-to-back to the Chiefs and Ravens and will wrap up the regular season a week from Sunday in Nashville against the Tennessee Titans. They're in the playoffs, but they have a lot of questions they need to answer before they get there. Ravens 31, Texans 2.
It wasn't our best outing, of course, all the way across the board. Offensively, defensively, special team wasn't our best outing. We didn't come out as I expected we would come out, and you know, all that starts with me.
Terrible on my behalf, you know, probably one of my worst games of my whole career, you know, just came out flat, didn't have any energy, didn't lead the offense the way I should have, so I always got to look at myself in the mirror and, you know, be honest with myself, and it's not good enough today, so is what it is, can't hang my head down, but just got to keep going.
Yeah, there's two types of losses. Welcome in, everybody. Happy day after Christmas. Hope, other than the 3 hours from 3:30 to 6:30 yesterday, your Christmas was outstanding. Seth, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas. Feliz Navidad in all the other languages as well.
Yeah,
yes.
We're a very, very inclusive show here. Yeah. There's two kinds of losses when you come in the day after. There's the kind where you go, okay, what was happening late in the second quarter? We're going to dig in on these two very specific decisions about this. This is where the game flipped right here.
Yeah.
And what was happening at the end, these decisions at the end. The Chiefs game was a little like that. You know, like that game was still a game in the fourth quarter. You know, the little things here and there, whatever. This is the other kind of loss, and this is the worst of these are not the fun ones, man, because this is where you're questioning the overall direction of everything right now.
This is
the low point of the D'Amico Ryans era.
Wasn't necessarily a turning point in a game in which no points would be scored by the Texans offense. It was more of a, I was trying to figure out, when did I run out of pep talks for myself? I think it might have been when they didn't score down from the 4-yard line. And Greg Olson, we'll play the audio later, because I went back and I watched the condensed TV this morning, because I'm going to go back and watch the whole broadcast because I like Greg Olson a lot.
Well, and then the Netflix broadcast too, to see how they did.
Yeah. Boy, I'll relive all of this at least 3 times in the next 48 hours. So the thing that, and I'm, by the way, we've got John Harrison tomorrow filling in for you, and I'm excited to have John's perspective on a lot of this. I think when they, when after the incompletion of Mechie on third down from the 4-yard line, that Greg Olson said, I'd like to see some crossers or some meshes here, something to help guys get open. Because in that situation on that play, they're running just a bunch of guys across the board who aren't especially great at creating separation and man coverage. All just lined up trying to get separation and man
coverage. Trying to get separation in about a 5-yard area.
Yeah.
In the most condensed part of the field.
That was almost like the perfect summation of everything. Because part of it, too, not to excuse Bobby Slowick or anybody else, but part of it comes into because, well, you certainly don't have a team that can just mash it in. Your play action is rendered moot because nobody respects the Texans' run game whatsoever. Yeah. But yes, there are some things you can do from a play calling standpoint. They just looked just inept and unable to compete yesterday. That was where I realized, all right, my pep talks are gone. The defense, we're going to talk a lot about C.J. Stroud and the offense for the rest of the season and on into the offseason especially. But the defense come out the way they did, really unaware. I was really disappointed in the defensive tackles, I brother-in-law the defensive line a little too much maybe because I've got a natural sympathy for him.
Sure.
Man, the Ravens, credit to them for a game plan that said, hey, these defensive linemen play a hyper-aggressive style of football and we're just going to exploit that. And the defensive tackles obliged. They were running upfield unaware.
Big holes.
And it's just that, hey, I didn't know you could block me from that direction.
Right.
It was ugly, man. It was ugly all around.
It was bad. I guess technically I tapped out. I like you, take copious notes during the game. And I pride myself on taking notes all the way to the final gun. Two columns, one for each half, each possession, down in distance, the key plays, circle them. Got to 31-2 on that very easy Mark Andrews touchdown. Where literally I'm just typing touchdown coming ...
Mm-hmm.
And then Mark Andrews. This Ravens team, you just know it's coming. And I just wrote about a third of the way down the second half column. Hope y'all enjoyed the Beyonce concert because unless something noteworthy happens, this is the end of the Pender notes for tonight. Thanks for ruining Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Thanksgiving and retroactively.
They ruined Thanksgiving by losing to the Titans the Sunday before Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So they, at
didn't
home.
That put you in a funk for 4 days.
At home, it kind of did, actually. Yeah. They ruined Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, and that's unforgivable.
Another thing that bothers me
major eating holidays.
The thing that bothers me the most is that this is a team that. The two opportunities they've had to play on just the 4 days of rest this year,
yeah,
Thursday night game versus the Jets, yep, and now versus the Ravens, they were just complete no-shows. That they just flat out were not ready compared to another NFL team on short rest to come out and play a football game. I feel it's hard for me not to look at it and wonder, all right, what about the core DNA of this team? Is not on the same level or caliber of other NFL teams the Jets.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great point because what was last season? Last season was noon Sunday, and you get into a routine. And there are certain things about last season's Texans, exhilarating as it was, them going 10-7, making the playoffs, winning a playoff game. I'm not trying to diminish that at all. But there is something to be said for playing a schedule where maybe the third best quarterback you played was Baker Mayfield last year.
Mm-hmm.
And you played noon Sunday every game until week 18 where they put you on in primetime against the Colts. And you won that game to their credit. The step up in weight class this season, and they may wind up with the same record as they did last year, 10-7. But we know the truth with this team right now. And the truth is not in the 9-8 or 10-7 that they'll call 10-7 if they beat the Titans. The truth is not in that record. The truth is in the record over the last 8 games, which is 3-5.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is big time in the record against good teams this year, which is 1-5.
Right.
Winning teams.
Even though you've slugged it out with a couple of them.
But you look totally outclassed in some of these games.
No, the thing is, when I say slug it out, I mean some of those, it's that you let it go in the fourth quarter.
That's right.
You slugged it out for 3 quarters with some of the better teams.
That's right.
But ultimately, what the good teams do is that in the fourth quarter, the players, the coaches, everybody have kind of learned something from the previous 3 quarters, and they go out and execute in the fourth quarter.
Yes.
The Texans have been the exact opposite in that regard.
Yep.
And then, in CJ, we probably, I did this on my live stream last night. We're 8 minutes into it, and, it's not an elephant in the room. It's the most obvious thing in the room. CJ just flat out played awful last night.
Stunk.
There was just no excuses. There, you can take various plays and say, okay, well, there's a drop here, a drop there. Just way too many easy passes that CJ misfired on. Too many times where you could just tell that the rhythm and timing and everything else was just a little bit off. You know, that throw to Dalton that he missed when Dalton was wide open in the flat. Sure, he was getting hit at the time, but he also could have made that decision a lot earlier.
Yeah.
Just knowing what the coverage was and knowing where the opportunity was,
yep.
Schultz would have had 30 yards on that play.
Yeah.
There's so many. The missed Mechie missed one to Mixon. To all these short,
missed
easy
one.
Passes.
The first one was he missed Nico.
That's
sailed
right.
it
yeah.
over his head on
yep.
second down.
Yep. Yep.
And the Schultz play was the very next play on third down after that.
You know, and obviously CJ took full accountability for it,
yeah.
but that's, you know, and he's the head of the snake, you know? You chop off the head and the body fails. Like, so that's, he can't have those moments in games like that.
You're 100% right. Like, this is, that's the most worrisome thing to come out of this game for me. That
yeah.
they got blown out by the Ravens. I said 31-17. In my mind, when I made that prediction, I'm like, probably could be a lot worse. I felt going into this game, A, they were running on fumes, and B, the Ravens are just, I feel like the Ravens' best game
yeah.
is the best of any team's best game out there. Like, they're the team that has, Bills included, they're the team that has the most propensity, especially because they're getting it together on defense now,
yeah.
to embarrass you. And they embarrassed the Texans yesterday, but you're 100% right. The most worrisome thing to come out of this game yesterday is that there was nowhere else to point with the deficiencies in the passing game. Other than, see, I mean, there are plenty of places to point, but this was the first time I felt like, boy, the criticism. I've always felt like the criticism CJ's been getting this
yeah.
season has been a little over the top. Not that he doesn't deserve some blame, but that it's been a little over the top based on all the stuff going on around him that I don't think is his fault. This was his fault yesterday.
This, and I would say in the last 2 weeks especially, yeah. there are mistakes he's making that are completely independent of whether it's poor blocking or not. And that's when he's in situations where he cannot take a sack, he's taking sacks.
Yeah.
Or just there's a play where it's designed to get the ball out quickly, and all right, the play doesn't work out, so the pass protection will fail by design.
Yeah,
on
right.
those plays, and he's taking a sack.
Yeah.
Like you got to get rid of the football.
And he didn't do that last year.
No,
that was one of the big praises of CJ Stroud last year. Remember last year, like halfway through the season. And he hadn't really hit his stride yet, but he was playing well.
Yeah.
Remember, we were sticking up for him, people pointing to his completion percentage outside of Houston, people not watching the Texans. Well, he was only completing 58% of his passes. That's because he's throwing at least 5 or 6 balls a game away
right, he was
to
really,
avoid sacks.
And that's what was so impressive. By rookie standards, he was way more mature in some of that game management stuff.
Yeah.
And man, I hate this because it's so easy to say, and yet sometimes the thing that's easy to say is because it's true. It's that they spent the entire offseason getting pumped up by rat poison from everybody about how awesome they were going to be. And I'm glad that this happened versus the Ravens, because last year, after the divisional round, I said, man, you know what? It's the best thing for this team could have been that they really understood that they were out of their weight class.
Yeah.
You know, they're not ready to play with the big boys yet. And then I think just because you acquire through free agency or trade weaponry, it almost feels like, oh, there we are. Oh, now we're over. That's what we needed. And a lot of these guys, and CJ Stroud especially, didn't truly understand how hard it is to win in the NFL. And the difficulty level just got amped up that much higher this year because teams knew that they were a respectable team. They were somebody that they were going to get the best effort of other teams. Not to the point of like a Kansas City Chiefs or anything, but they are not ready for prime time.
They're not.
You know?
They're not. And they got one game left to figure a few things out, and it's against the Titans. And I don't know how much you figure out against the Titans, although they did beat you at home back in week 12. So we got a lot to dig into still. We now know what's in store for the Texans from a playoff. No, 100% what's in store from one standpoint. From another standpoint, we're 79% sure. How are we feeling about the Texans once this regular season is over and what their likely scenario is? We'll discuss that.